Well, here we go. How long has it been? I wonder if anybody would know. I suppose it's been a couple years, three, four. I don't even know. The last time I think I was here was to say that we were leaving. And what a change to see new faces, new people excited in the Lord, new people wanting to hear what Christ Jesus has to say. This morning, we're going to take a look at Mark chapter 1, and it's going to be a very familiar text to many of us. But what we've been seeing in our church, or what I've been led by the Lord lately, has been sharing and teaching about false teachers, sharing and teaching about the persecution that is going to come. We do like to think that persecution happens somewhere else, to other people. But the Lord promises us that we will face persecutions. And the more we hear in our news today, the more we need Christ Jesus in our lives. The more we need the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain us and to keep us. This morning, as we look at this text, we're gonna see the existence of Satan. We're going to see the existence of his demons. Something, again, that we often like to overlook. We don't want to think that they're really there. But I believe, as the Holy Spirit as our guide this morning, we're going to see 3 points. We're going to see the teaching of Christ. The teaching of Christ. That's what we need to focus on here, that it's the teaching of Christ. It is the gospel of Christ Jesus. Is it the good news of Christ Jesus? It is because of the cross that Jesus came. We have the good news, the truth of the Word of God that is preached in its entirety, so that it leaves the hearer dumbfounded. Dumbfounded because of the new clarity that's realized in believers. The clarity that the teaching of the truth is so far from the lies, so far from the deceit, that is continuing to this day to be preached and to be taught by the worldly, by the false teachers. And that's something we need to be aware of. For ourselves, for our kids, for our grandkids, we need to be aware that when we say, oh, well, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to church, we need to make sure, are you studying the Scripture? Are you turning to the Holy Spirit? Are they teaching the gospel of Christ Jesus or something totally different? We see also, number two, the demons, they do exist, and that the demons recognize Jesus. Today, the legions of demons who serve Satan still recognize Jesus' name. They still recognize the authority that he has in his teaching. Thus, we stand upon the Word of God. That's where we stand. We can't stand anywhere else. We have to stand upon the Word of God. That is our foundation. That is our guide for all aspects of our spiritual lives. And if you're struggling with that concept of spiritual life, if you're struggling with the concept of born again, study the Scripture. Pray that the Lord reveals to you how your life is new. Maybe you've known Christ Jesus for years and you're thinking to yourself, man, it's just the same old. Nothing changes. Nothing's different. Pray and be ready, because the Holy Spirit will shake you up. Many of you knew my dad. My dad would do this. When we were in trouble, he'd pull the short hairs. And the Holy Spirit will do that to you. The Holy Spirit's going to wake you up. The Holy Spirit's going to make you kind of get those shivers when you know the Holy Spirit is nearby, because I don't think I was doing what was right. The same thing that we got when our dad walked by. When you knew you had did something wrong, that's the power of the Holy Spirit revealing to us and showing to us that Christ is Lord of all. And it is upon him that we can stand in victory over Satan, because we can't defeat him on our own. Last week, we're going to look at those Christians, the Christians who have had their eyes and their ears open to the truth of the Word of God, and they stand amazed in his light. All those things that were hid in the darkness. So we believed the world, right? We stepped into what the world was telling us. And we had this little cone of light that we stood in that the world told us about. And we couldn't see any of the evil that hid in those corners. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you're standing in the light of Christ, the lights are on in that room. And you can see everything that's going on in those corners. You can see everything. That the deceit that the world has been telling us, all those lies that they've been feeding us, feeding our kids, feeding our grandkids, all of a sudden become real to us. And we go, whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean that our schools are teaching us that evolution is against God's word? When did that happen? And we need to think about these things in a new light, a new world vision that we have in Christ Jesus. Because it is in Jesus that we have new life. We love him. We worship Christ alone. And it is in Christ Jesus that we come together today. There's so many other things you guys could have chose to do this morning. And yet the Lord called you here. The Lord enlightened you. The Lord brought you forward this morning to go, you know what? I need to hear the word of God. And we come together as brothers and sisters, excited, filled with joy, to share with one another, to hug one another, to laugh and to cry with one another, because Jesus is Lord. If you have your Bibles, open to Mark chapter 1. And flip to the 21st verse this morning. And if you're able, why don't you stand this morning as we look at this text from Mark. And they went to Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. Immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they, those that were in attendance, they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him?" And at once, Jesus' fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Father God, we acknowledge this morning our need for a Savior. Lord, as we are in this season of Lent, this season of preparation, this season of turning and repenting of our sins, Lord, we recognize the authority of Christ Jesus, even over our own lives. Lord, may the power of the Holy Spirit work in us today, that we may leave this morning new in spirit, new in life. And the Lord, may he bless our time together. And with the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. This morning, we gather together on the Lord's Day. We gather together on this first day of the week to worship a risen Savior. We worship with faith. We worship with understanding of the Word of God. And we worship with the authority that we find in Christ Jesus. And we believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. We believe that the Bible is truth, and not that the Bible contains truth, right? Is that a valid statement for you? Yes, that's what we believe. That is the Word of God. That is the Scripture that we have. That's why we're here this morning, gathering in our sanctuary to hear the teaching of the truth of God's Word. And sometimes you've probably had somebody up here sharing that it's kind of abrupt. It's kind of harsh, the words that get shared. Maybe we'd like to jump over those sets of text within the Bible. We don't really want to think about those things. We share the truth of God's word. And then we hear the sweetness of the gospel message. Christ Jesus came to die for each one of you on your own, individually. Had the whole world been perfect, and Larry Gunderson, because he's my father-in-law, was the only sinner, Christ would have came and died for him. Christ would have came and died for each one of you. That is the good news. That is the gospel message that we have in Christ Jesus. That's why we don't focus on men. We don't focus on what I think. We don't focus on what our leaders think. We focus on the Word of God. Martin Luther told us that the Holy Scripture reveals to you the Scripture. Do you read your Scripture? Or do you wait for somebody to come up here and stand and tell you about the Scripture? Would you believe it if I told you that you had to wear blaze orange to church in order to be saved? No, you wouldn't believe that. Why? It's not in the scripture. Would you believe it if I stood up here and said, you need to do 13 good things? On Sundays, you got to do them twice in a row? No, it's not in scripture. We need to stand upon the scripture of God's word. And that's why you guys have to read it. I can tell you whatever I want. You have to read the scripture. You have to know that this guy standing behind the pulpit is sharing the word of God, the gospel of Christ Jesus. And how important is this right now for you guys as a congregation? You're looking for a shepherd. You're looking for somebody to lead your flock. Does that person stand upon the word of God? This church is so near and dear to us, to me. To see the growth, to see the excitement, to see everything that this church has went through over the last, 30 years. The joy that is filled in knowing the Lord personally. That's what's drawn you here. That's what keeps you coming back. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your shepherd. It isn't a great social club. You come to hear the word of God. You come to share with all. You come to share with Christians. And sometimes you're maybe dumbfounded. Oh, I didn't realize that's what the scripture said. But that sweetness of the gospel, how amazing that is. So now today for our scripture, I'd like you to go back with me, if you will, a few thousand years. Let's think about the scribes and the Pharisees. They're the leaders. They're the teachers. They're the pastors, if you will, of the Old Testament script. And if we could come into one of their synagogues, what would they be teaching us about? They'd be teaching us about the law, wouldn't they? That's what they would teach us. How to do good things. How to be good people. How to follow this law. How to do that thing. How to make the right sacrificial payment for whatever your sin was. They didn't teach about the will of God. They didn't teach about the heart of God in man. They only taught about competing to be the best. Think of even the scribes and the Pharisees. They were making modifications and changes to the law, so only they knew how to do it. So that the common man, you and I sitting in the pews, would have went, whoa, I didn't even know that's what that was talking about. They kept changing things to make them the best. And sadly, today in many gatherings and many buildings that claim to be Christian, they're teaching something very similar. Do these things, repeat these words, be a responsibly good person, focus on what you can do. The false teachers do not teach the heart of the person. They do not teach the heart turning to God. They do not teach the gospel that is salvation in Christ alone, through faith alone, and scripture alone. So as you're looking for your pastor, is that what he holds to? Because that's the key, folks. Does he hold to the word of God? Is that where he's at? Is that what he's teaching? Because yes, it is the good news that is found, and it's only realized when a person has a true relationship with God, when the power of the Holy Spirit is working in them. I bet there's some of you that have sat down to do your devotions at night. You've had kind of a bad day. Your heart isn't really in it. You're not even sure you want to open your Bible. And you just kind of read through some text and go, yeah, that didn't even mean anything to me. And then other nights, you sit down and you prayerfully consider what the Bible is. You ask for the Holy Spirit to lead you. And you might read through the exact same text. It talks to you. It changes your hearts. It changes your mind. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is working in you. That's what we have with that personal relationship. The false teachings is where we see Satan getting involved. We see Satan pulling a bunch of men and women together. Satan saying, you know what, if you guys all congregate together, you guys can become this great synod, you can become this great group, you can become this great person, and you can tell everybody else what to do. That's what Satan has done. Satan gets involved in our world because we are proud. We're arrogant, whatever the word you want to use. And that's what Satan starts to do. He starts to tell us, hey, if you guys start doing these things and you can focus on maybe what color the carpet should be in your sanctuary, then we don't have to talk about the gospel. We don't even have to mention that Christ Jesus went to the cross. We try to focus on things. That is the religion of man. That is how it is that Satan gets involved to mess things up. Satan might even say, you know what, if you can do these good things, you're a pretty good person. God's a pretty good God. He'll let anybody into heaven. Folks, that's the false teachers. That's the false teachings that we have that are so wild and so ravenous right now in our world. So much to the point that they say, you know what? You know this Bible that you guys talk about and carry so much? Sheesh, that's pretty old. We should update it a little bit. Make it a little newer. Make it a little more exciting. Maybe glorify some of the gore a little bit. Maybe take out some of the parts where it says there's sin. Yeah, we don't want to really talk about that. That's the risk we have. That's the false teaching that we have. Because then they say, you know what, you can question anything in your Bible. The Lord created the world in 7 days? No way that could have happened. We've got science that proves there's no way that could happen. We stand on the Word of God. God created the world in 7 days. We believe the Word of God is true, and you said that at the beginning of the service. You must stand on the Word of God. Don't let the world sway you. Don't let the world change you. Don't believe the lies. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Don't believe the lies that this world throws at us. Now, imagine 2,000 years ago, plus or minus a little bit, this young man Jesus gets up and he walks forward to the front of the sanctuary. That's what we see here in our scripture. Jesus comes forward. He's not going to repeat the same old. He's not telling him what to do. Jesus comes forward with authority. He comes forward with power. Not as one who has memorized all the Old Testament scripts. Not as one who thinks he can teach the Old Testament scripts. Not as one who thinks he's a messenger for the king. He comes forward with what? His word. He comes forward with authority. He comes forward and says, you know what? This is what I said. This is what I meant. This is what it means to you. And how can he say that? He's God. He wrote it. He created the world. He created you and I. And he knows how our minds work. Jesus comes forward teaching not some external proclamation of do these good things, be righteous, be just like the Pharisees. Jesus teaches on focusing what John the Baptist started. Prepare the way for the Lord. And as we're in Lenten season, is that what we're doing right now? Preparing the way? Turning? Repenting from our sins? Because Christ Jesus is Lord. He is the one that we are to follow. He is the one that is right there for us. Jesus comes forward telling us that he is the Messiah. He went to the cross for you. To Calvary. He willingly gave his life for you. In order that God would have the acceptable payment for all of your sins and all of my sins. Jesus had to go to the cross. If you're listening to teachings that are telling you, you know what, cross isn't really needed, you need to stand up and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. There's no good news. There's no gospel message without Christ Jesus going to that cross. Because Christ Jesus willingly gave his life on that cross. He laid it down, and he had the authority to pick it back up again. And we celebrate on a day like today because he arose from the grave. Up from the grave he arose. And that's the joy that we have in knowing him. So here Jesus comes forward. He's sharing this message. He's sharing something totally new, something totally different to them. And what does our text say? Our text says that the people were amazed at his teaching. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit takes these people, maybe devout Jews. They've been going to the synagogue maybe their whole life. And they go, wow, what just happened? Something's different. Something's new. Something's there. That is the power of the Holy Spirit working through the lives of those people that heard Christ Jesus speak. Those that were oppressed by the law. Those that were in bondage to the law. Those just like you and I before we come to know Christ. And he comes and he shares this message, teaching not something that was taught by the scribes, not something that these people had the ability to learn. the Holy Spirit open their minds. Just like the Holy Spirit has opened or will open your minds. Maybe you're still struggling. Maybe you've had that nice Christian smile on your face for many, many years going, yeah, I like being a Christian, I guess. And then he changes you. And the Holy Spirit opens up to you scripture and opens up to you text and reveals to you an awesomeness that is found only in Christ Jesus. And you stand amazed because of the new life that you have in Christ Jesus. That work of the Holy Spirit, the part of the Godhead that proceeds from the Father and the Son. It went forward on that day, just as it does today, opening the hearts and making believers all over this world by the power of the gospel message. By the power of the gospel message. Sharing the word of God, realizing and understanding the teachings of Christ Jesus, that it's not the law, but that the law condemns us, and that we have new life in Christ Jesus because God shares that message with us. And through the Holy Spirit, we see the authority of Christ Jesus. That's the joy we have in being a true Christian, a born-again Christian, a Christian who stands on the Word of God. Whatever term you want to put with it, I'll say Christian. In the old days, we would have said Catholic, wouldn't we? Catholic meaning the universal. Lowercase c, Catholic meant universal. Those who believed in Christ Jesus. That's where we stand today. We are a body of believers. We associate with like-minded body of believers. That's why we don't have a synod. Did you know that? We don't have a synod because we have Christ Jesus that speaks to you guys as the congregation, and he intercedes with the Father. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a free church in a free nation that we have the freedom to worship as we must, not as we want, as we must, because God calls us to worship. Yes, we see in this text today Jesus coming before the synagogue, preaching and teaching with authority and power. If you'd go back a little bit, a few weeks maybe, Jesus went down to the river and was baptized. He was anointed by the power of God, in whom he had all authority. And in both of these events, what happens immediately afterwards? Who's upset immediately afterwards? Satan is. Immediately, remember, the Holy Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness, into the temptation. We see here immediately somebody in the congregation, somebody in the synagogue was possessed. And immediately, upon that understanding of the authority of God in Christ Jesus, who is Christ Jesus, Satan speaks up. Satan stands up. And I believe for you and I today, that's an understanding that we know he's got authority. God has pointed it out. God has shown it to us. We've heard it. And then we immediately see that Satan recognizes it. That Satan understands that Jesus is God. Friends, I want you to see that in Scripture that we hold to as truth, that there is a clarification. We do see that Jesus heals those that are physically ill. We see that Jesus heals those that are demon-possessed. We see that Jesus heals in different ways. He sets them free from demons. He understands that they have forgiveness of sin needed in their lives, and he releases them from that. This is a reminder for us today that there is an existence of demons, that Satan is real, that the battle we wage is real. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Jesus gave us the example that he is victorious. And because he is victorious, you are victorious as we stand upon Christ alone, as we cling to the old rugged cross. Isn't it amazing that he gives us that understanding, gives to us that ability to see that he is the victor, that we stand with him as we hold to the truth of God's word. We see that understanding that Jesus is Lord, that Satan tries to tempt Jesus while he's in the wilderness. He tries to tempt Jesus when he's at his humanly weakest point. And Jesus, The Son of God stands upon the Word of God. And that's what you and I must do in this world of temptation, in this world of evil things happening. We must stand upon the Word of God and know that Jesus is the teaching with authority and with power. And in today's example, we see Jesus rebuke the demon when the demon speaks and tries to claim to know who Jesus is, the Holy One of God. You and I may be thinking, whoa, wait a minute. Free advertisement. Why would Jesus stop him? Because he's Satan. Because he's one of Satan's legions. Jesus knows that nothing good is going to come from this. That Satan is going to try twisting words. Satan is going to try to do everything he can to convince you and I that we can doubt the Word of God. That we can doubt the Word of God. Jesus here gives two commands. Jesus says, be quiet and come out of him. And if you want to see authority of God in a real example, look what happens. Satan, the father of lies, his demons who've been taught and trained and know every trick in the book, says nothing. He says nothing. He doesn't try to debate with Jesus. Doesn't try to turn away from Jesus and said, you know what, though, folks? This is what's really going on. He realizes the authority in Christ Jesus. He realizes who Jesus is. And he shrieks and he departs. That's what we need to do when we are faced with demons in our lives. We must stand upon the Word of God. We must proclaim the name of Jesus. We must cry out for the blood of Jesus for that demon to be put in his place. Because friends, again, you may not want to recognize, you may not want to admit the existence of demons. Talk to Bob and Elaine Cole. If you haven't had an opportunity to visit with Bob and Elaine about demon possession, about things they saw when they were in Africa, about things they saw when they came back to America, boy, I encourage you to talk to them. The Lord has blessed you guys as a congregation with a couple here that has seen so much, that has prayed for so much, that has prayed for so many because of demon possession. Because of demon possession. We must pray. We must pray for the soul. We must pray for those who are sick, that the Holy Spirit will come into their lives and release them as Jesus works salvation, as Jesus works new life. Because we see Jesus even later in Mark. He rebukes the disciples. And he says that this type or this demon can only come out with prayer and fasting. Folks, we must pray. We can't just turn our heads and think, you know what, it'll be okay. Give it a couple days, it'll work itself out. Friends, we got to turn to the Lord in prayer. This Lenten season, hopefully to you, is a call to prayer. That you realize the need and the power of the tool that we have in prayer. That we're sometimes ashamed to use. I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you have said, well, I guess I'll just pray for you then. The power of the Holy Spirit. We must turn to prayer first because it is in Christ Jesus that we have healing. It is in Christ Jesus that we have power over Satan in his name. That spiritual battle is only won through prayer. We never just pray because we pray to God. We pray to Christ Jesus who is our intercessor between us and God. Finally, taking a look at verse 27, the people, and I will call them here the new believers who were awakened spiritually from the spiritual death that they were in into the life of Christ Jesus. These new believers were amazed. When was the last time you were amazed? When was the last time you opened up the scripture and you were amazed by what you read? Because of the Holy Spirit led and guided and changed what it meant to you. I remember sitting in the pews out here one time, listening to Jesus calming the storm. Man, I've flannel-grammed that thing. I've known that story my whole life. I can even imagine probably some of you that were my Sunday school teachers flannel-gramming the storm that Jesus calmed for me. Sitting here in the pews one time, Jesus said to me, you know what? Who are the guys in the boat? Tough fishermen. This is after I'd went to Alaska and had been out in some real water and understood what really a storm looked like and what it meant to be in a turmoil of storm. And Jesus said, do you think those guys were scared when that wind started to pick up? Do you think those guys were scared when it got kind of rough a little bit, maybe a little bit of white caps? How many of them turned and said, oh, don't wake Jesus up yet. He's sleeping in the back of the boat. We're fishermen. We're tough. We can handle this. How many of you have said that in your own lives? I don't need to wake Jesus up. I'm pretty tough. I can handle it on my own. And Jesus wakes up to what? A storm. And what are the fishermen doing? And what are we doing when we finally turn to Christ Jesus? We're going to die. Lord, there's nothing left. Everything is all upset. Everything is all against us. We're going to die because the storm is so bad. And Jesus says, ye of little faith. And he calms the storm. He calms the storm in your lives. That's the amazement that these men and women saw in the synagogue that day. Christ Jesus calmed the storm in their lives. The weight of all those laws, the weight of all those sins, removed. Who remembers Eldon Nelson saying Mr. Ritter saying to Soward, Eldon Soward, it's like a weight's been taken off my shoulders. How amazing is the word of God. That is the power that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus opens up to them. Jesus opens to us the relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. The life we have in honoring God is not with a bunch of deeds, making sure we knew how long our tassel should be or following this or that law. We need to worship with our whole hearts. You must be not lukewarm. You must not be sitting upon the fence. Today, you need to realize God is looking not for words, but he's looking for your whole life. I was a farm kid, milking cows, pitching hay bales, who decided, you know what, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to fix cars for the rest of my life. I'm going to go do something fun. I'm going to go play with computers, because that would be fun. And then guess what? God said one day, Ron, you know what, why don't you go to the front of this sanctuary right here, and why don't you share some words? God, that's not who I am. I'm a farm kid. I can hold a fork like nobody. I can fill a wheelbarrow quicker than anybody, and I can go unload it and be back in the barn faster than my brothers. And God said, you know what? Try to stand behind that pulpit. See how strong you are then. See how confident you are then without me. Folks, that's the amazement that we have in Christ Jesus. Believers will be his people. And he is their God, just as he promised to Father Abraham, Father Isaac. So as you stand in the light of Christ Jesus, may you know and may you understand Jesus and the love that God had to send while you were still a sinner. And he called you into life. May you be amazed. Will you pray with me? Father God, this morning as we come through your text, Lord, it is amazing that you chose us. That Father, we were wretched sinners, as Paul would say. And you chose us to be your own. You sent Christ Jesus at just the right time. You sent the Holy Spirit to give to us faith, to give to us the ability to believe, to give to us new hearts. And the scales were removed from our eyes. Father, we love you. We love you so much for sending Jesus. May you work in our lives. Change us. Help us to see the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. And in his name, amen.